6 minutes past 12. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Man in Line on Manx Radio. Call 66 13 68. Email studio at manxradio.com. Text 166177. Just a quick couple of notes of travel news, by the way. Manx Utilities have closed the road between Glen Road to Mount Gorn Road in Colby. There's a major water main burst there. Everybody's on site, but it's going to be Interruption City for the next few hours. Glen Road to Mount Gorn Road in Colby. And also there's news of an oil spill, an oil leak in the area of Ballacorris Road in St Mark's as well. Defra there. And we'll keep you up to speed with what's happening. So, as of 4 o'clock on the 16th of October, Friday, 14,913 tests, 14,898 concluded, 15 waiting for a result. 100 people were waiting for a test on Friday. And we'll see what happens when the figures are released this afternoon at 4 o'clock on Manx Radio. Well, you'll know during the 4 o'clock news what the situation is. But certainly the coronavirus just seems to be ramping up, certainly across the water and certainly in the northwest, of course, the area that is really close to us. I just want to chat today. Of course, we're open line, so we can talk about all sorts of things. But the subject that comes up ahead of recent elections, and of course 2021 is going to be no different, because there is an election in less than 12 months' time. So it's worth bearing in mind a broad headline to the moves. Should you be involved as a voter in the election of a chief minister? Now, it doesn't happen. Nobody's elected as chief minister. Obviously, the MHKs get elected and it is sorted out within Keys who is going to be the next chief minister. Daphne Kane, MHK, one of the Garth MHKs, has got a motion down in Tynwald next week to say all prospective candidates for chief minister should declare before the general election. Well, this has happened in the past. Informally, people have said, I would be interested in being the next chief minister. It has to be said that hitherto it's not been a passport to becoming chief minister. In fact, some people have said it blighted their campaign. So I just wonder what you think about that. September next year, in less than 12 months, we will have a general election for our 24 MHKs. Would you feel better if your candidate said, actually, if I'm elected, I'd like to be chief minister? Daphne Kane.
Well, I think that's because amongst the population, the voting public, there is a sense of democratic deficit that they don't have a say in who the chief minister will be. And although we are as a Keys, you know, it's a consensus that we elect the chief minister that we support, there is a feeling out there. Now, I could have gone one of two ways. I've gone for the gentler candidates for prospective candidates for chief minister should declare their intention ahead of a general election.
Isn't that rather presumptive, though? And could put them off, actually, because it almost implies, well, I expect to sail through this general election and be in the next Tynwald.
It opens that up. It says that they're a candidate for chief minister. And on the doorstep, we get asked repeatedly, who do you support for chief minister? Who's in the running for chief minister? And in a way, it would enable a degree of openness that we don't currently have in the election of a chief minister. And that's so where I'm coming from. I could have gone down. I was very fortunate that Professor Peter Edge prepared a paper with some academic colleagues on comparing the Isle of Man system of electing its head of government with the Kiribati system of electing the head of state and government, how that person is elected. So we could have, for instance, could have said the Isle of Man, you know, Tynwald's of the opinion when we have a general election for chief minister, either at the time of our general election of all candidates, or a month later when certain candidates have put themselves forward or had been nominated and supported by various members of the Keys.
Isn't that an option? Because then you know who are Tynwald members.
Well, that could be an option, and maybe somebody might like to amend my motion. But I thought that at the current climate, I think that we've had an exceptional year. The paper prepared by Professor Edge came out a year ago, and it's available on my website for anyone who wants to read it. I have circulated it to members as a discussion point that I'll be referring to in the debate.
Daphne Kane talking about whether or not you should declare you want to be chief minister. Well, Daphne Kane's motion hasn't got the backing of one former chief minister. The chief minister who says it's impossible to know who might be elevated to the top position in the Manx government before an election. That former MHK is Tony Brown.
To be blunt, I don't think it'd make any difference, because if you take my situation, for example, when I was standing for the Keys the last time I stood, I had been Speaker of the House of Keys, and I was happy to be and continue to be Speaker of the House of Keys, and I certainly didn't have in my mind at all to be the Chief Minister of the Isle of Man. So people might not announce before an election they want to be Chief Minister, but circumstances end up that they end up becoming the Chief Minister. So what does it actually achieve?
Do you not think that the public might like to have an idea of the people who might be the Chief Minister going into an election rather than find out afterwards?
No, I don't think it'll make a difference to most people. Most people want to know what a constituent or what an MHK is going to do for them and their constituency as well as the island. And at election time, I think most people focus on local matters, albeit that they are national stroke local matters, local issues. Whether you become Chief Minister or not, at that stage, I don't think makes a big impression on many of the voters.
Well, should somebody who wants to be the Chief Minister and knows they want to be before they stand, should they, out of the goodness of their heart or transparency or whatever, do you think they should be encouraged to say so?
Well, it's a matter for them, isn't it? I mean, John Shimmin, I remember, made the point when he stood in the House of Keys at one of the elections that he wanted to go for the position of Chief Minister. Fine, made no difference. He still got re-elected. He didn't become Chief Minister, by the way. I did. I hadn't announced that I wanted to be Chief Minister because it wasn't in my mind at that time. I was happy, and people used to ask me to say, I enjoy being Speaker. If anyone said to me, would you fancy being Chief Minister? I would say, well, if it's what I have to do, I'll do it, because what it's about is not me, it's about the Isle of Man. And if I can serve the island best by being the island's Chief Minister, so be it. You can have a motion saying, with the greatest respect, Tindall's of the view that. But what happens if somebody doesn't put it in that they want to be Chief Minister, and then circumstances end up that they're the ones people look at to be Chief Minister? You're going to say he can't be, or she can't be? It's really not going to do a lot, and with the greatest respect, there's a lot of big issues out there.
Tony Brown, and I wonder what your thought is on that. Is it best that we know beforehand or that we don't know beforehand? Some people see that putting your hat in the ring and saying, I'd like to be Chief Minister, is just a bit too much ambition. And again, a bit presumptuous that you're going to sail through the election and you want to be Chief Minister. A note in from John and said, I think Tony Brown hit the nail on the head. He had no intention of being Chief Minister, yet became the Chief Minister. The aim is not to is to stop this happening, and I think we should have more transparency. Jill said people actually can't be bothered to vote, so elections are out, I think. We should make voting a legal requirement. Well, that's a thought. Places like Australia, if you don't vote, you get fined. And there was a local election in Derby Ward in Douglas last week. 19%, 20% turnout. One in five people turned out to vote. Now, some people would say that's very good for a local election. There's another election this Thursday in Onchan as well. Again, it's something that, and bearing in mind what we've gone through in the past 6 months or so, that the way that our society has been, if you like, assaulted by what is happening, you know, invoking the Emergency Powers Act, Tynwald evoking and using emergency powers, some people kind of worried about where that will lead us. Certainly Chris Thomas was worried about where it would lead us. I just wonder whether perhaps you're thinking of standing as an MHK next September. I don't think we should vote for the Chief Minister. What sort of mess would we be in if the public elected a Chief Minister who couldn't command a majority in Tynwald? How would an impasse like that end? I think it would just end badly. So at the moment, MHKs are elected, and then a consensus arrives between those MHKs as to who will be the Chief Minister, the person who can command the mood of the House and the votes of the House as well. H said, I think Tony Brown's wrong about what people vote for in elections. I think the bigger island-wide issues influence people more than parochial matters. Well, there's normally a way of finding that out, H, and that is to stand for election. I do take your point as to what do you think people would care about most as well. Oh, a note in, by the way, the cannabis people have got a protest on the 20th of October from 10 till 2 at the Wedding Cake on Bucks Road, the cannabis of man. Tony Brown still talks sense, says Liz. This isn't an important issue for most people. It could sway elections. Elect in the usual way and see who we get. I think the cream will always rise to the top. Well, we have what we have. We have an elected lower assembly, and then we have an upper assembly that is then elected by the lower assembly. The MLCs elected by the MHKs. In other places, the upper chamber is elected. In some places, it's not. We are where we are. And I just wonder whether what we've gone through in the past 6 months is perhaps makes it time for a reset, or whether or not we've been through enough in the past 6 months and we'll just go ahead. Certainly, as we get towards Christmas and the New Year, Christmas is, what, 9 weeks away? The New Year's 10 weeks away. Once you get into January of next year, politicians and prospective politicians will certainly have an eye on September of next year. And if anybody thinks they haven't got an eye on next year, and they don't know politicians. Feedback's being sought, by the way, on proposals to bring forward legislation aimed at improving how debts are recorded and made accessible on the Isle of Man, and for improving the effectiveness of debt recovery by coroners. Now, this is a situation that's excited lots and lots of comment. It's a consultation. The government's launched a public consultation on a proposed introduction of an act called the Administration of Justice and Other Amendments Bill 2020. The consultation is part of a wide-ranging review of civil debt recovery on the Isle of Man, aimed at modernising civil debt recovery and insolvency and ensuring that arrangements are fair, effective and fit for purpose. Now, the structure of the bill, which is split into four parts plus a final section, wants feedback from you. The Treasury Minister, Bill Shimmins, is very much part of this, wants to modernise the way that debts are collected on the Isle of Man and recorded through legislation as well. The views of landlords in particular are sought as a consideration and comments sought on proposals that would lead to the process changes relating to rental debt. Now, the consultation document's available to view on the government website, and you can download it as well if you go to gov.im. It's on there as well. The process runs for 6 weeks. It wraps up on the 30th of November. If you want more information, as I say, you go to gov.im. You can email comments to the people at the Treasury. But this is something certainly that was been agitated for by many people. In fact, there were a few petitions, I think, at Tynwald recently as well. A consultation launched today on legislation aimed at improving the process of recording and recovering civil debt on the Isle of Man. Tony Brown's response exemplifies everything we don't want. We arrive at in this important post without any clear vision and leadership ambition for the Isle of Man. How can that be modern, says Jan as well. We need to know if the prospective candidates for Chief Minister have the qualities. This isn't a job for the old boys network unless they can demonstrate that it is for the Isle of Man. Would you vote for somebody? And, of course, what would happen if they wanted to be Chief Minister and didn't even get elected as well? Imagine the embarrassment. If we had party politics, we'd know who would be Chief Minister. You'd know where in the world, where the head of state is. Do you vote for someone nationally, says Jeff. I've always argued that we need a party system, says Ian. We need party politics on the Isle of Man. With that, you know who the leader of the party is, you know who you're voting for, therefore your choice as Chief Minister. However, I don't think MHK, standing as independent, should state that they wish to be Chief Minister, as we need to see them in Tynwald to properly assess them as potential Chief Minister and whether or not they're capable of gaining sufficient support to act as Chief Minister. Well, do you think? Well, there are parties, of course. There's the Labour Party, the Manx Labour Party, nobody in Keys, and there's Liberal Vannin as well. By the way, have you seen this new lamppost in the middle of the pavement by the electric railway, the one that is stopping wheelchair access? Have you seen the photos online?
Download the Manx Radio smartphone app for free from your app store.
If you can, text, email or call. want to hear from you today. A question of democracy. Would you vote for somebody who said they wanted to be Chief Minister in Keys? Manx Radio.
Here at Ramsey Garden Centre, we have Christmas covered. Walk through our magical Christmas wonderland. See Dancing Norbert, fabulous new decorations, lights, indoor and outside for all occasions. Baubles and beads, trees, real or artificial, gift ideas and a few surprises at Ramsey Garden Centre. Christmas starts at Ramsey Garden Centre's open evening on the 28th of October. So come along to Albert Road for some cake and mulled wine.
Entrust. Secure. Develop. These are the cornerstones of Harding Lewis, because as an experienced firm of chartered accountants, their service is of the highest standard. Nothing is too much trouble, and they will endeavour to do whatever it takes to achieve your goals, starting with a free meeting and a cup of coffee. Harding Lewis will look after you and your business as if it were their own. Come see why our clients see us as more than just accountants, and visit hardinglewis.com today. See more. Do more. Together.
Love Your Home is a revolutionary new app to take the stress out of your routine home maintenance. Your property is your biggest investment, so keep it in tip-top shape for less than the cost of a daily sandwich, with annual maintenance at the touch of a button. Nothing is too much trouble. Love Your Home will handle everything from boiler servicing and cleaning gutters to fixing a leaky tap and full electrical checks, leaving you to get on with your life. Find out more at loveyourhome.in. Your home, loved by our family.
Steam into Christmas with family and friends this festive season on the unique Isle of Man Railways dining car. Choose from our extensive winter events programme and journey through the Manx countryside on board the dining car for some sparkling festive fun. To get you into the Christmas spirit, book now by calling our Yuletide team on 697457 or visit rail.im and experience one of our festive train adventures.
Do you believe in witches?
Ghosts?
Ghouls?
Things that go bump in the night?
Or are you a sceptic?
And convinced that everything has a logical explanation?
If you're of the latter persuasion...
Or a believer...
You should listen to the Tammy Ginder's Hoptune special on October the 31st at 8:30.
When we return to the most haunted house in the Isle of Man.
In the company of two mediums, a ghost hunter, and maybe some other unseen guests.
That's the Tammy Ginder's Hoptune special, Saturday, the 31st of October at 8:30 p.m.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio.
24 minutes past 12. Lots of opinion about what we should do and whether or not you should show ambition. Some people saying you don't want to show ambition on the Isle of Man. You never know where it's going to get you. Next September, there will be a general election for the House of Keys. Everybody is up. Everybody is there to be elected, including, of course, ministers, members of committees, chief minister. Everybody suddenly becomes a candidate. When nominations open, when nominations close, everybody ceases to become a member and you are simply a candidate. I wouldn't vote for somebody who wants to be chief minister, says Kev. Let's see. Another question. Do you or your listeners remember the UK lockdown of 2018? 67,000 people died of influenza in January of 2018 in England and Wales. To date, only 43,600 people have died this year from COVID-19 over 8 months. Meanwhile, non-COVID deaths are down 90%. I don't remember any lockdown from that. Ian Wilkinson is the number cruncher as well. And again, this brings us back to the fact that there does seem to be an increasing number of people who simply don't believe what is being said about COVID. Did you see over the weekend there was a protest in Liverpool, an anti-mask protest in Liverpool? Now, do you think this is going to rise, or do you think this is just a minority of people who will be against anything? On the Isle of Man, we don't seem to have that very much. And, of course, we're in the position that we're in. I think cannabis should be legalised for medicinal purposes only, not for the average layperson to smoke as they wish. I wonder if protesters will be happy with that or whether the truth of their protest is that they don't think it's fair that they can't sit at home smoking weed. Of course, weed can cause anxiety, paranoia and psychosis. I think if cannabis is legalised, it should be strictly controlled and it should be limited. By that, I think that would also mean control, probably. And who would sell it? Who would regulate it? Who would manufacture it? Whenever we talk about legalising cannabis, it raises all sorts of issues. Again, recreational cannabis versus medicinal cannabis. And the benefits of certain things that medicinal cannabis can do are very well known. Lots and lots of relief. Lots of people with distressing medical conditions can get them relieved by the use of derivatives of cannabis. Now, whether that transfers across to social use of cannabis and smoking weed, well, that's a line that we simply don't know where it starts and finishes. We don't know which part of it we should adopt or which part of it we shouldn't adopt. We don't know who's got a stake in it commercially or who hasn't got a stake in it commercially. So, Leo, let's see. Juwan's with us now. Good afternoon, Juwan.
Hey, good afternoon, Andy. How are you today?
Terrific. And yourself?
Absolutely brilliant. Just listening to your programme, I've listened to quite a few of your programmes and a lot of the people that message in. Listening to Diane last week and quite a lot of the criticism that came from some of her statements. But I think there's a lot of relevance in some of the stuff that she says. I think looking at mainstream media, which I don't actually have a lot of accreditation in at all, really, to be honest. But it's amazing how these protests that you've been talking about have been going on for many, many months now and have not been covered by any mainstream media whatsoever. So just wondering what the agenda would be in that. Because
do you mean the protests, is this against lockdown for coronavirus and things like that?
That's right, yeah, and freedoms. And I think it's more to do with people's freedoms being taken away from them. I mean, Berlin, about a month ago, had 1 million people on the streets and there was nothing really said about it. So there's a lot of distress and a lot of feeling about this, and more and more people are going over to that side of not believing everything the government says, which... That's very unusual, isn't it, that the government would lie to us? But I think a lot of people now are feeling like that. And going on to the Chief Minister situation, I know I got caught up in the repatriation system coming back to the island, and looking at everything that went on during that time, I find it very disturbing that most of Timbald didn't really know what was going on. You had this here close... The Secret Seven, or the Comin, definitely not the Magnificent Seven, we'll say the Secret Seven, were definitely keeping a lot of stuff to themselves, and the people who were electing in to support us were not really knowing everything that was going on. And that came apparent as well when I asked the question to the group of interviewers that were on the radio, and I asked that question of, were politicians adverse to, did they know what was going on with Comin? And it was interesting that one of the reporters said that the people from Timbald were asking them what had happened in meetings and with Comin. So I find it quite disturbing that such a small number of people are keeping a lot of secrets from the people and not sharing it with the people who we voted in.
Now, it's quite a while ago, but obviously that situation whereby, and you're talking about the fact that there were some, you were one of the Manx people stuck out of the Isle of Man who couldn't get back to the Isle of Man, didn't know when you were going to get back to the Isle of Man, or didn't know whether you were going to have to self-isolate in England, and you couldn't do it anyway.
It's quite correct. And back then, I think the first person that broke ranks was Bill Shimmons. And I said right from the start, well, that's fine. I mean, I'll just claim asylum. If you're going to be a rogue government and not let me back into my island, then I'll just claim asylum. But Bill Shimmons quite rightly said back then, and he was criticised for it, that there is rules. You know, we've got human rights and international laws. And I don't think any person who was coming back, any resident who came back for repatriation, wanted to break any rules. They just wanted to come home, go to their house and isolate for 2 weeks and do what they were told. I don't think there was any argument about that. The fact that you've got a small group of people taking information from their advisers, who they wouldn't name, by the way, because they won't divulge any information on the FOI Act because it's still ongoing. So I think it's quite annoying, really, that these people want to step into our lives, but they're faceless. They can't put names to these people and back everything up. So it was really quite annoying, the fact that you actually want to get home to your island, isolate in your house, and then you've got a small group of people taking away your liberties and human rights.
How do you feel about the situation that some people, Manx-born people, people with Manx passports are in at the moment, in that they've moved away from the island to work, they still have got a residence on the island, they've still got family on the island, they can't come back?
And this is the same situation. And we fought this, and we had to fight for every step of the way for repatriation, because let me tell you, if we hadn't have fought for every step of the way, we would have still been locked away from the island, and that's a fact. From the first day that the Chief Minister said, we will not help you, then it became a fight. And I said to them ministers then, you know, this will be remembered in 12 months' time when you come up for election, because that's not the way to treat your people. I mean, there was a lot of people that kept away from the island that put a lot of stuff into the community over here. And I think that was wrong.
Did you ever think that, I mean, it's a situation nobody knew they were going to be in, but when you were being given those answers by the Manx government, how did you feel?
Annoyed. There's quite a lot of mixed feelings. And through the repatriation site, which I was an admin on, we had a lot of mixed feelings from people. There's a lot of people now who've lost a lot of trust in the government. There's people who have actually packed up and moved off the island because of this. There's always a lot of drama, and there's always going to be people that are going to come on and criticise what I've said. But a lot of people are living in fear at the moment, and that fear is being driven by mainstream media and by government. And I think that's wrong in this situation, that governments and mainstream media have put the fear into people. And like we've just been discussing there, like you've just been saying, a lot of people now are looking at facts and figures more and saying, hey, you know, is this really as intense or as bad as what it is, and what's the agenda behind it?
OK. Joan, always good to talk to you. Thanks for being with us.
Take care, Andy. Bye-bye.
OK, let's go to Joan now. Good afternoon, Joan.
Hello, love. How are you?
Fine. And yourself?
Well, I'm just going to say quickly, and only speaking for me, if we get 10 ministers after this one, they're never going to be any better than him. He's lovely. And he shut the borders down, and we're only the way we are now with this COVID for him. If he hadn't done what he'd done, for all the people who are moaning, he's done a very good job.
This is Howard Quayle, yes?
Yes, our man, yes.
So you feel that the government has done the right thing, and again, we speak from a position of safety, of course, on the Isle of Man. Heaven knows what would have happened if he hadn't.
Well, I honestly think that man, and our man for the health as well, they're wonderful people, and everybody's wonderful, but that man had all the decisions to make, and he did make them very well. I mean, look where we are, three, not even in the community. Look at across, it's raging with everything.
Okay, Joan, thanks for being with us today.
All right, love. Bye, love.
It's 25 to 1 on Manx Radio. And we're talking about politicians. We're talking about the situation with COVID. We're talking about, as Joan was saying, what you believe about this situation, what you think the situation is. We come at it from the position that not many people are in Europe, and Joan was talking about the German situation. We've got a correspondent in Germany we'll be talking to fairly shortly about what the situation is like. And it's always interesting to get some perspective on what other places are like. We know what the Isle of Man's like. It's not like any other place in Europe apart from Guernsey with this. Text, email or call, say only the candidates for a particular constituency in which 80% of the people don't vote want to be chief minister. Do they get the job because no one else declared for it, while the 80% of the population may be unhappy in being able to influence the process, says G. Does that mean we should have an all-island vote, do you think, for chief minister? Or do you think, I mean, and again, many prospective politicians have gone into Keys and LegCo wanting to reform LegCo to make it a public vote. That's saying places like Jersey, where you vote constituency deputies, but all island senators. That may be a way that something would happen in there. Or maybe it's just not the time to be thinking about things like that.
I would like to complain about the fact that the MHKs are giving themselves a £20,000 a year rise when they do nothing for it. I mean, a man that works hard labour doesn't get that kind of money, £67,000 a year. It is totally wrong that all they do is go into whatever and talk, and that's it. They don't do physical labour. Even teachers who work sort of like 5 days a week and then do all the homework at one night, they don't get that kind of money. It is totally unfair and they shouldn't get it.
Any thoughts? Anything you'd like to say? 23 minutes to
Reynolds
1.
Reynolds & Reynolds, the finest name for quality pre-loved cars and vehicles on the Isle of Man. Reynolds & Reynolds have a stunning showroom conveniently located on the Isle of Man Business Park. Reynolds & Reynolds stock a fabulous range of affordable vehicles, but also supply, service and repair most makes and models. Open 7 days a week. Go on, call in today and see some friendly faces at Reynolds & Reynolds Vehicle Sales or online at reynolds.im. Part exchange and finance available. This infomercial was brought to you by Bespoke Group.
Let's plan together for the better days to come. Whatever the legal situation, LVW Law has the solution, which starts with a free 30-minute consultation. Whether buying or selling your home, our conveyancing department are here to help. Call to request our free will questionnaire. If you need representation in court, whether that's for commercial, criminal or family, we're on your side and offer legal aid. LVW Law. Call 836 757 to book your free 30-minute consultation. Conditions apply.
There's only one name you need when it comes to scrap. Castaigne Scrap Metal. Castaigne will scrap all metal and they're licensed to scrap all batteries, including dry cell and lead acid batteries, to get the best prices of copper, lead, aluminium, catalytic converters, brass and more. Remember one name, Castaigne Scrap Metal. Castaigne Scrap Metal. Remember one number, 801337. 801337. Castaigne Scrap Metal.
Structural steel, it's our game. Come to the AB Metals crew. There is nothing we can't do. AB Metals know the rules. We've all been to metal school. All our teams are skilled to use all the metal working tools.
If it's made of metal, we can make it. Visit the island's premier steel suppliers and fabricators and see what we can do for you.
AB Metals, AB Metals, AB Metals.
On Thursday evening at 6, you can join Fiona McArdle for the last in the present series of Shachley.
I was so angry about this, I had to be restrained in my seat.
Yes, it has that effect on people. So what are we going to be looking at this Thursday?
The Great Whore of Babylon, in inverted commas, because she wasn't, but she was called that.
And you can find out more by joining Fiona McArdle on Thursday evening at 6 in Shachley.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.
This is the Isle of Man talking, the man in line.
20 to 1 on Manx Radio. John Goodyear is an academic in Germany. He specialises in Anglo-German affairs and culture. He lives in Oldenburg, which is about 50 miles east of the Dutch border. So I want to get some perspective, really, on what's happening in Germany. It's always interesting to know what happens in other places. And, of course, the Isle of Man has a contact with Germany in that typically we would get thousands of Germans over for TT who enjoy the island very much indeed. So, John, hi, John. Just tell us, what's the situation like in Germany at the moment?
There were people around and about. There's a bit of interaction in the city centre, but after Angela Merkel gave her a great speech quite recently, a couple of days ago, she said that it's best if you could stay at home, and you actually sense that people now are starting to stay more at home than they did, let's say, just a week ago.
Are things getting better or worse, do you think?
In Germany, I think they are, the perception is they're probably getting worse. This is reflective in what politicians are saying, but also what what your friends are saying and whether they're going to go ahead with, you know, whether you can go around to their house or not. So I get the sense that more people are cancelling events, and that's increasing as the days now go on.
Christmas is a big deal in Germany, and it's 9 weeks away. Is anybody mentioning Christmas at all?
I haven't heard the word, Andy. I've not heard Christmas so far. obviously it's huge, not just for sort of big cities like Berlin, but even smaller places where I am here in Oldenburg. We have this great, fantastic Christmas market. And even there, there's a question mark over whether it can go ahead. I think they're trying to push for some sort of limited form of Christmas market, but just seeing how people are tightly packed together, it would become one of these great super spreaders. So my guess is, I'm not going to preempt what the city of Oldenburg is going to say, but I don't think it will go ahead. And if it does go ahead, it will be in the smallest possible version that it can be conceivably conceived.
We're talking to Dr. John Goodyear, who's an English academic specialising in Anglo-German affairs and culture. And John, you live in Germany, but you're distance lecturing for Birmingham University. How's that going?
It's going surprisingly well, considering that we finished teaching in Birmingham in March, and students obviously go off and they learn for their exams, and their exams are over in the summer. Well, all of that got cancelled, you see, Andy. So what is happening is, you know, students and academics and teaching staff at university, they're returning back, you know, not necessarily aware of how all of these things operate, what are the technical problems that you could encounter. So the first couple of weeks, of course, there've been a lot of teething problems, but that's not just applicable to Birmingham. I'm sure that's applicable to many universities up and down the UK. And I get the sense here in Germany, because they had an entire semester last time online, because of how the system is slightly different, they've already got a semester ahead of experience in the German academic world. So it's like going back to old times in Germany.
John, Germany has islands, the Frisian Islands. How are they coping? Now, the Isle of Man cut themselves off. Are the German islands open for business, or are they pulled up the drawbridge?
It's good you say that, Andy, because I was actually on one of those islands relatively recently. I was doing some work for a TV company, and they were open. I mean, people were going across and enjoying their holiday. I was on the ferry. There were hundreds of people on the ferry, but they were all wearing masks and all trying this social distancing. So the islands weren't closed off. People were going to the islands and coming back to the mainland without any problems. But whether that changes, Andy, within the next couple of weeks, I don't know.
Which island were you on, John?
I was on a place called Norderney, and Norderney, pretty famous back in the day when the British occupied this part of Germany. The British troops used that island as a bit of a place to go and have their own little holiday. So when they weren't sort of marching around doing national service on the mainland, they went up to Norderney and had a bit of a rest and recuperation at these leave centres.
Oh, of course, yes, in the days of Heligoland and things like that.
Yeah. Well, Heligoland is sort of a bit further to the west, but Heligoland's got an even greater Anglo-German story, as you know.
John, you mentioned you've been making a documentary for German television. How has that gone? Have you been able to put together productions with social distancing around?
Yeah, well, when I was drafted into present this documentary, the main concern was, as coronavirus was already very much manifested in China and was spreading around the world, whether we would actually get to do this. So as time has gone on, the journey's done a tremendously good job in dealing with this crisis. It has been possible to move around more in Germany than it has in, let's say, in the UK, for example. So in the summer, it's been pretty relaxed, and we've managed to get all of our filming in between, let's say, May and August. We did a couple of days, as I said, in September on Norderney, and we've done a couple of days quite recently. So we've managed to get the bulk of the filming in over this sort of summer period, where things have been pretty quiet in comparison to other countries.
John, good to talk to you. John Goodyear, talking from Oldenburg in Germany about how things are happening there. And as you mentioned, things not getting better in Germany. Stephen's with us now. Good afternoon, Stephen.
Good afternoon, Andy, and good afternoon, listeners. A more mundane subject, but still one of importance for everybody. I don't know whether you have seen it, but there was an image posted on social media over the weekend of a lamp post that has been placed in the middle of the pavement.
I saw that. I mean, that's not something that somebody's just made up, is it? Is that actually there?
Well, I don't know. I haven't drove over because it's such a rigmarole to get along the prom, etc., to have a look. I can only assume that it's factual and accurate. If it is there like that, then it does raise several questions of A, when the plan was made to place it there, didn't people say or refer to their line managers, are we sure this should be being placed here? So maybe we all should go and have a look and find out, is this image true? I can't imagine people would go to the trouble to produce a fake image. Mm. We do know there is fake information around, but I would be surprised if somebody would go to that length to produce a fake image. What benefit would it give to them?
Well, it'd be nice to know if somebody can send us a photo of anybody's knocking around Port Jack, isn't it?
Yes, opposite the MEA, Manx Electric Railway Sheds. But it does raise very good questions. How will people with prams navigate this? How will people that are visually impaired navigate this? How will those on motor scooters navigate this?
And if it's
ordinary pedestrians.
And if it's right, Stephen, it also brings up the question, why did anybody think this was a good idea?
Well, that is the whole point, Andy. Why did anybody think we will continue and put it? Didn't anybody raise an objection when they first were shown the plan to put it there? And didn't somebody say, hang on, is this really going here? Maybe Rob Collister, he's in that department, maybe he could come along and I'm sure he monitors these programs. Maybe he could come along and explain to us that it's fake news or is just a big mistake.
All right. Okay, Stephen, thanks for calling us.
Thank you.
It's 12 minutes to one on Manx Radio.
Download the Manx Radio smartphone app for free from your app store.
Our NHS will have a crisis on its hands, says Andrew, if they keep dishing out opiate-based painkillers for minor ailments. Look at America, United States. The medicinal use of cannabis wouldn't be addictive or cause the major side effects associated with opiate medication. Cannabis is easier to harvest. It's got many pain-relieving chemicals in it, such as CBD. People with epilepsy, Parkinson's and depression. It's been treated with cannabis derivatives. It's proving successful, says Andrew. Well, Andrew, there are lots of people on the Isle of Man who take cannabis-related products. Some of them not entirely legitimate, it has to be said. And lots of people get a great deal of relief from cannabis-based products. Indeed, the Education, Sport and Culture Minister, himself a GP, Dr. Allinson, has some fairly fixed views on the legalisation of cannabis-related products. Nobody will be as good as the Chief Minister. Leave him alone, says Richard as well. People need to do their own research on cannabis. I think booze out, weed in, says one cannabis fan. Regarding cannabis, yes, genetically modified skunk sold on the black market is dangerous for both individual and society. But just to consider this puts the plant into a pigeonhole. Also, I think skunk should be classed as a different drug due to its genetic mutations and differing effects and intoxication. Please consider this. I bet if I took £30 worth of whiskey in one night, I could kill myself, but I couldn't do the same with cannabis. The problem is that cannabis isn't regulated, monitored and checked. We could produce a strain of cannabis that has low amounts of the psychoactive THC and that is safe for human consumption whilst still providing some minimal pleasurable effect to the consumer. The question of legalization of cannabis, the question of medicinal versus recreational, is something that we're simply going to have to come to terms with. And you can't push water uphill because legislation years and years ago on alcohol and on tobacco was done when that was there. Use of cannabis wasn't entirely prevalent in those days. the use of Indian hemp or reefer joints, as they were called. I think it was mainly restricted to, and I don't want to pigeonhole people, but jazz musicians and blues musicians. You said no non-COVID deaths are down on last year. Is this UK figures? What are the official statistics for death on the Isle of Man, says Pat? It's a good point, maybe one we can put to the Chief Minister on Thursday for the next coronavirus update. Let's hope they bring in these new laws regarding reclamation of debts, as there are a number of, less than honest people who dodge debts and in the claims court. I'm the member of a Facebook group set up to keep people informed, and we're currently owed thousands of pounds. This group is constantly being expanded, as the coroners have little to no powers. Some people, and everybody knows within this Facebook group, the individuals, people who flip-flop company names to avoid paying off debts from snail mail. And, of course, no one has any powers to reclaim monies owed, says Chris. Thanks for that, Chris. This is going to be a really interesting exercise, the one that Mr. Shimmins is behind, and it is to regulate the reclamation of civic debts on the Isle of Man. This is legislation aimed at improving the process of recording and recovering debt on the Isle of Man. Feedback is being sought from you, from members of the public, on how to improve how debts are recorded and made accessible on the Isle of Man. And for improving the effectiveness of debt recovery by the coroners. It's a concept. We're going to have more on this as the weeks go on. You have until the 30th of November to get your four penneth in. It's a six-week process of consultation for this. The Treasury Minister, Bill Shimmins, is behind this as well, modernising the way that debts are collected and recorded through legislation designed to provide greater transparency and protection for the community. Hi, says JB, I think alcohol should be limited. At the moment, you can drink as much as you like and then cause trouble and fight. Whereas if you smoke weed and stay at home, you just listen to music and watch TV. Sandy says, Andy, the cannabis issue. We've got lots of feedback on cannabis. I feel honest, balanced facts about this plant need to be presented so that the public can make a reasoned choice. The industrial uses, as well as medicinal uses of the cannabis plant, vast and could help save the NHS millions, whilst also creating trade, work, industry. America, Canada and other forward-thinking countries have legalised small amounts of cannabis for personal recreation and therapeutic use, and this is proving very successful, says Sandy. Sandy, you're right, it could create jobs, it could create industries. However, at the moment, production of cannabis, importation, distribution, retail sales of cannabis are outside the law. They're governed by organized crime. It just prompts the question in my mind, do you think organized crime is going to give up that source of revenue and just say, oh, well, it's available legally now, we won't do it anymore? Is it illegal, says Paul, to deny a Manx-born passport holder the right to come back to the Isle of Man? It's a story we heard Juan earlier on, who had real problems getting back from America, from his home in America, to his home on the Isle of Man. And there are still people, Manx-born, Manx passports, who've been out of the island for 2 years, working elsewhere, but can't come back to the Isle of Man to see friends or relatives. If you've got any thoughts on that, you can text, email or call the man in line as well. If a candidate's going round the district, the question is, if you're elected, would you like to become chief minister? This will give you an idea of how good the candidate is and how he would vote for chief minister. Well, it won't be long. Well, I say it won't be long. It won't feel like long until next summertime, the back end of next summertime. You will have people knocking on your door saying, I am whoever, and I want to be your next MHK. Is that a question you would ask them? Would you say, well, do you want to be chief minister? And if they say yes or no, would that inform your decision on how to vote for them at the general election? I.e., do you want that sort of ambition in your MHK? Andy, my brother's at university in Liverpool and shares a house with eight other people. Three of them are Manx and they all tested positive to COVID last week. Needless to say, he's staying in the UK for Christmas. And when we get the rest of the students on the Isle of Man, we could get COVID on the Isle of Man. So what do we do about that? Do we make them isolate? Or do we test them? Test, test, test. Trace, trace, trace. That's it for the Man in Line. Anything you want to pass comment on, by the way, you can out of hours, maninline@manxradio.com. Call the answer phone on 682-631. Thanks to Barry Redfern today, producing. I'm Andy Winter. We're back tomorrow at midday.